to the king. Y'all is good, ain't it? Most high of Yahweh, we thank you for all things for bringing us to another holy Shabbat. We humbly ask and question for the ears to hear. Be able to hear your truth, the things we've seen deep down our hearts. Bring about a manifestation. Show the whole world as lights to the Goyims. You've called us and chose us. We thank you for writing our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. More than anything, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Because he made the sacrifice for us, and we're forever grateful and thankful. So thank you, Father, here this morning. Welcome you in our presence, Holy Spirit. May your presence continue to strengthen us in this daytime and hour and these uncertain times that we're living in. In the name of Yeshua, we're always careful to give you the glory in all things. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I asked Mother Carol this morning, I said, hey, I said, last night, I said, I was in a Christian church, they said, what do you think would happen with the women? She said, they all get up, well, most of them will get up and leave. And I said, yeah, and then all that would be left is the women. You get it? The real women. Let me tell y'all something about a thought in Scripture. When we read, we make a big mistake when we're reading the Bible. We read it based on the influence of American society. Everybody makes that mistake. I don't know why they do it, but they do it all the time. And no matter what culture you come from, you actually view the Scriptures based on your surroundings. And that's a big mistake. If you follow me, let me give you an example. If you were going to test something, or prove it, or try it, all right, follow me, how do you put it to the test? You understand what I mean? You can't really truly put a person to the test unless you do offend them. That's so far outside the norm. That's why I brought it up again last night. When Messiah said, does this also offend you? And so when you read the translation, you're thinking that it's all Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, Rex Humbard, you know, all this other sweet. First of all, the Hebraic culture is not a sweet culture. It's a manly culture. Are y'all listening to me? There's nothing sweet about it. You read the book. Anybody ever read the Songs of Solomon? That's a pretty vulgar book. It's just that when you read it through the lenses of this American mindset, but it's actually pretty blunt. I mean, if we translate the euphemisms that are used in there and stuff, you probably won't even probably don't even want to serve God anymore. Maybe we'll shock you like that one Sabbath. And you'll be like, wait a minute, do we want our children to hear this? Yeah, we want them to hear everything. So there won't be no confusion. Remember, bro, saying we brought up last night, babies. They bees. You tell me we ain't sick today. They bees. So do we want our children? look, son, look, daughter. You're not a boy. You're not a girl. You're a they bee. You get 4 years old. And then when you get 4 years old, you can pick and choose what you want to be. See the reason why the Most High y'all? In all his wisdom, in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, we are light to this wicked generation. I'm serious. He called us out and told us to come out. And over 25 years ago, we came out. And if we didn't come out, we wouldn't be able to keep our sanity. There's no way we could keep our sanity with what's all in front of us today. We live in a world where every perverted thing is protected by law. Every perverted thing. I was talking to somebody in Mexico, and of course they were a Democrat. I said, tell you what, tell me one thing that Obama did for black people. And they sitting there. I'm waiting. I said, now tell me what he did for immigrants. He protected them. had laws passed so that illegal immigration, that people could come in. An illegal immigrant or an immigrant, whichever way you want to put it, they can come into this country, get a business loan. But a melanated person, they're not going to set up and fund you. Why would they fund your empowerment? How many, let's tell the truth, let's look across here. Who owns the majority of the quick stop gas stations? Arabs. Is that right? Is that not right? How many black owners do you see of those? Them things make a lot of money. How many black folks actually get small business loans in this country? See, they throw us a couple of bones. Oprah Winfrey. You understand what I mean? Will Smith and all these other people and stuff. But that's, we're 40 million people in this country. And we're less than 1% of the wealth in this country. I said in this, no, maybe 10% of the wealth in this country. I'm talking about just melanated people. Now, the one thing they will do, see, what I'm doing is talking about an actual psychology here. The one thing they will do is that they will give you a loan for a mortgage. They will give you a loan for a vehicle, a car. They'll even give you a loan to go to school. You know the reason why? Because none of that is going to empower you. It's going to fund the machine. They're not a setup and about, you. I mean, you think this country really won't 500 black billionaires? And if they did get them, every single one of them would forget where they come from. See what I mean? Oprah Winfrey will go all the way to Africa and open up a girl's school. Well, she should be opening up a school right here in her own backyard. See what I mean? There's psychological warfare going on. And not only are they doing that to destroy that community, but to destroy America, all you have to do is just bring perversion in. The thing that the flesh longs for. 2015 Supreme Court made a sweeping move to legalize sodomy and homosexuality. Now nobody hardly says anything at all. Look at them, your face don't even twist no more. Doesn't even contort. But if you come around here, anybody brand new and they don't know you and they don't see you and interacting or something, you may walk in the dining hall and our children will look at, and ask a question, who let those heathens in here? You get it? Because there's a difference between us and them. And if you don't separate, your mind and your conscience are going to be affected in every aspect of society to where you're going to start looking at this Bible continually through the American way. I heard a woman the other day said that she says, I'm a doctor of divinity. I said, for real? I speak fluent Greek and Hebrew. I said, bullshit. And you know what she did? She says, when you go look in the original context of Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, are you following? He said, it doesn't mention anything about male and male. It was speaking about male and boys. And then when you go to Romans, it doesn't say anything. Y'all remember when we were sitting in the living room looking at that? Y'all too? He says, it doesn't say anything about homosexuality at all in the original text. I said, where in the hell? I said, see, now everybody would, the majority of people are in the Christian church, because she got up and said and gave her a little credentials and stuff, they would listen to her. And then they would start questioning the text. But it's obvious that if it doesn't use, here we go, the English word homosexual, the application is there. You see what I mean? So when people start playing these mental gymnastics, this wasn't in the original text. It just worked. No, English wasn't even in the original text. When people come up with these stupid sayings, there were no J's in the King in the 1600s. That wasn't even English in the first century. So if we all want to be legalistic about how we speak and what we say, then everybody just needs to shut the hell up in America. because they did not communicate in English in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Bahrain, don't you know how to speak Arabic? That language was around. That's a original language. The sister to Hebrew. And I'm not talking about this Yiddish Hebrew either, where they are acting like they're clearing their throat every time they talk. That's where you fuse the cultures of German, mixed along with the people of that land and Hebrew. Because if original Arabic is a sister language to Hebrew, you don't ever hear them. It's nonsensical. See, so nobody ever exercises anything unless somebody gets up and stimulate thought to try to put our mind on point the way that it should be. We wouldn't even have, that's the reason why he's chosen by the foolishness of preaching. Somebody said, where you get it from? The Holy Spirit. I mean, did not the Ruach influence the scriptures in every aspect? And then in there, I'm sure y'all read it, that by one man's wisdom, he was able to save a whole city. All it took was just one man. This world don't want us to have no wisdom in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I'm so excited when I see all the willing spirits of brethren getting joy out of building for the future. The children that are coming behind us, they will not be confused because they're homeschooled. They're separated. They're not confused. You understand what I mean? That's a beautiful thing. Because if we don't concretely press this into their hearts and minds, put a difference between the holy and the profane, we all going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. So you're going to tell me in the original, this Dr. DeVinci, right? That there was no such thing as homosexuality. Okay, all right. Not that word, homosexuality. But the application is there. I mean, when they were in Sodom, did they not? There was two angels of the Most High there. And this is how bad, see, this is how bad things is really going to get. It's bad now, but we haven't went to worse yet. Now you think about that for a second. Here's two angels over there in Sodom. And these men don't want, all these men of Sodom don't want nothing to do with a woman. They go and knock on Lot's door. Lot volunteers his daughters to be ravished and sodomized by these men, and they're so perverted that they don't even want that. Give us the men. It gets so sick to the point of sickness. It gets so sick that even when the angels of the Most High blind them, they're in their lust, in their blindness, is still looking for them. You think about that. So here's the analogy of the scripture coming together. Blindness over here concretely. So when we get over here to first Romans, the first chapter, you watch this blindness come on, and that foolish heart was darkened. You see that? That foolish heart was darkened. So the application over here, they're burning so bad, even in blindness, being smitten by blindness, that they're doing that damnness in the midst of that to try to seek out these men to sodomize them. So now we understand that blindness today, spiritual blindness, is reprobate. When they knew Yah, they did not glorify him as Yah, but they became vain. Vain. And this is what we have to fight against all the time. So this ain't the time for soft glove preaching. Then had enough of that. The softness is taking over, so much to the point that it's militant, if you understand what I mean. Because if you really truly look at a Sodomite, they're really militant people. They're militant, murderous people. at the depths of their heart they are. Because they have no conscience of righteousness, morality, and holiness. This is what we have to fight against all the time. And believe me, remember what Hillary Clinton said? It's all about the children. You better believe it's all about the children. It's all about the children. They want to be predators on your children, our children. So this ain't a time to make light of perversion and get used to it. That's the reason why the Most High told us, come out. Get set apart. Because if you don't, boy, I tell you, man, these, these wicked spirits, they're going to try to alter and change the minds of your children. Now, I believe in homosexuality. I support them. 100%. So much, I wish we had an island to put them all on it so they can sodomize each other for 100 years and let's see if they produce seed. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't it be nice if we had the capital, we could buy them an island and let them have all the gay pride parades and all the fag parades they wanted? Just live it up. Put all the men on that island and put the women, the lesbians, clear across the earth on the other island. Shut down maritime transportation. Shut it all down. Don't let them leave the island. Just bring in food, let them out, and let's see how they fare after 100 years. Wouldn't it be beautiful? But see, it's a spirit. You can put them on an island, but their spirit will still travel in man. Because it's thoughts that are submitted to the mind, suggestions. Doesn't make any sense. So no, we got to fight hard. We got to fight really hard to be righteous and stay righteous. Even today in the holy, so-called holiness churches. I've been in Christianity. 30 years ago, you would walk in a holiness church. Even if the women didn't have their head covered, they would at least have one of them doilies on top of their head. Kind of like these women wear coffee cups on top of their heads. They would at least have some semblance of showing that they believe in being covered because they know that they are the weaker vessel. You get it? Now today, they got, damn, I feel sorry. Is all the people over in India going bald head? Because they're cutting off all their hair and selling all their hair to these bald-headed Americans. White women, black women, movie stars, all of them got fake hair in their head now. Y'all don't notice that? Everybody got fake hair. Nothing original about it. But the book already called it. Isaiah said, instead of well, set, beautiful hair, baldness. Women don't have no trouble with baldness around here whatsoever at all. See, it's a sickness. That's what we're fighting against. And we have to fight just as hard to maintain holiness for our generations to come down here. Because if you notice, when children get older, in this movement right here, the majority of them want to kick traces. Y'all don't notice that? They want to go to sin. And don't tell all y'all children something. You grow up in this, you leave this. There's very little chance that you would ever return. Don't think when you read the son, prodigal son, that's you. The majority of people, when they leave, don't ever return. They have chosen the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the era of Balaam. This is a conscious decision that people are making. But you want to make light of it because they're your children. And you keep toying around with that. That concept is going to flow to seed coming afterwards. And that's why y'all jacked up in your mind, because you love those defiled, wicked, God-forsaken children more than you do Elohim. And then you want to fault this preacher right here for loving y'all with all his heart. Nothing between my soul and Savior. No compromise. That's what you have to pour into your children. You men, the priests of your home, you have to pour this into their minds and conscience. You have to speak it to them day in and day out. I speak to his child almost every single morning, even though he don't understand a word I'm saying. I'm speaking positive affirmations into his spirit. Straight up. Does he understand the world? No. Hell, when he smiles, he don't know what he's smiling about. He'll smile at anything. It's just the ideal of putting it out there and continue to keep putting it out and let it become nature. That type of communication, if it starts now, it'll carry on. That's what we need. That's what we have to have. That's why my old Carol and I were talking this morning. I said it's the sole purpose of talking like this, so you get rid of all of the monsters that act like and look like they're women. Well, they look like they're women, but they're not. They're demon-infested monsters. Why would a woman consciously go against what the Word says? A woman of a meek and quiet spirit. Why would a man consciously go against what the Word says and not be a protector and a provider? Why would you defy y'all's word like that? To what purpose and to what end? Am I making sense? So we can't relax y'all's ways because, you know, it seems like it's easy for the flesh to do. As a matter of fact, we're not here to get worse. We're here to get more, to get better. Continually, year by year. And because the generation is so cold, hard, cruel, and callous, dang. That's why you see the preaching changing so much. We're going back to the old way, the old holiness, the way they used to do it. To where when you come to an assembly and stuff, it's automatic. It's an automatic. You felt like you done, even though you're in a good homestead, a good area, you felt like you still done failed y'all in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And that's good to keep conviction. It's good to stay in a repentant state so you don't become prideful and become arrogant. And boisterous, and thinking you've arrived when you have not arrived at all. That type of mind and conscience will keep the Holy Spirit burning in us. It will keep the fire burning. I said, watch, I remember 34 years ago, I'd be in the Holiness Church, right? I used to say, man, it was, you know how when you first receive the Holy Spirit and you have all these quickenings that go on? You know, sometimes it make you jump out of the seat, you quickening, your spirit is quickened. You don't even hardly see that at all no more. At all. See old granddads and grandmama. Hey! What the world? Sometimes I be sitting there just in my living room, minding my own business, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will hit me so hard. Summer, how often do you see that? You see that? Seemed like he hit me hard, don't it? He's sitting there like a bolt of electricity just ran through me. And you know what I be saying? Every time, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Lets me know I haven't grieved it. See? Now think about the people that at one time did feel him. If happily, if you may feel after, now they don't feel him at all no more. Some of you just existed. That quickening is there also to let you know that that's the same spirit that's going to raise you up. That's the same spirit that's going to transform you in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And if you don't have that, you ain't going nowhere. That make any sense? You ain't going no damn well. Okay, be all religious. Hook a Messiah. Keep the commandments. Do whatever you want. Don't have the Holy Spirit. And with all the warnings, not grieve him. Sometimes you pray just because you want to feel it. Because he's the only one that brings comfort. Now today, everybody is. It's just, what it was, the war of them that are eased in Zion. Everybody want to be? Leave me alone. Not me. Not me keep my cutting hair. Like I said last night, can you imagine that? You put all these Jezebel women over here and put me on this side. The Most High Yahweh would say, well done, our good and faithful sir. All rich y'all go to hell. Think about this. You remember, he says he's going to separate the sheep from the goat, right? He's going to put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Huh? And then he actually says, for all these people that live their little lives here on this earth and just would not serve him. You prepare for the devil and his angels. How many people are deceived in their own self-righteous? Also coming on this from the heels of this, we have a lot of people. Elder Doug, get on that mic for a second. All right, we done just about almost finished out the month. How many phone calls have you made this month because of the, and you probably didn't get to all of them. Tell us how many phone calls you done made this month.
Exactly 280.
280 return phone calls. And did you get to them all?
Yes, I did, in fact. Yeah, I think I did.
Watch this. What is your average day on the telephone? How many hours do you average daily on the phone?
Oh, it goes anywhere from 6 to 8 hours.
Y'all hear that? Do y'all people hear that? You think Pastor Dow got time to spend 6 to 8 hours a day on the phone? No. That's why Elder Doug is there to screen. He's there to screen. He's there to vet. What do you mean, screeners? Don't when you call in a talk show, they screen you? He's screening, he's vetting to see if you are even worthy to even be in one of our fellowships. Look at that. Christian church says, come out of you, come as you are. That's why they're full of sodomites. We guard the house of Israel. We screen, we vet. Because some of you, you believe you all of this. And no, Lord, sometimes some of you get through, you know, little cracks, very few the devil. I mean, come on, you got a good, bad, and average. But we screen people because we're very protective. So you go over in Acts chapter 2 and you read that the Messiah added to the assembly daily such as should be saved. How did he do that? How did he do that? Did they, because they wanted to come on their own? No, the disciples was there. They saw who the Messiah was dealing with and said, come on in. And that day, and about 3,000 souls were added. Noted, added. Yeah, you come, you stay. You come, you stay. You come, bye. See what I mean? We think that just everybody came on in. Can you believe, look at all of us, right? All of us in the ministry right here. Look where we're at right now with hindsight. They saw the Messiah 40 days after the resurrection, ate with him, slept with him, talked with him, heard him. He ministered to him, speaking of things concerning the kingdom of Yah. 40 days. Then he charged them. Now I want you all to go to Jerusalem. You go there and you wait until you be endued with power from on high. How many of y'all would have took off? Don't sit down and tell me you wouldn't. Don't tell me you wouldn't. How many was in the upper room? 120. 380 people kicked the traces. After seeing him after the death, burial, and resurrection, he spoke to them about the kingdom of Yah. They handled him. They touched him. They heard him. They saw him. They knew it was him. They watched him go up. if you wouldn't be one of those 380? I mean, if you saw something like that, you would think there's nothing that can move you. You going to Jerusalem and you're going to stay there until you die. We have hindsight to know that 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, keeping in order with Yah's calendar, he turns around and he sends the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. 380 people didn't give a damn about the kingdom of Yah, even after seeing the Messiah. Only 120 made it to the upper room, got filled with the Ruach. So how many of y'all that serious? Really, truly that serious? You see what I mean? How many of you really, truly are obedient to his voice? Really love him? Or do you just pay lip service like he's warned us so many times? Because there are a lot of people playing lip service. In vain do you worship me, teaching for the doctrines or commandments of man. Full well, you reject the commandments of Yah that you may keep your own traditions. Remember that? Crazy, isn't it? Vain, vanity. Can you believe that even amongst us there are people that are just being religious? We see it every feast day in the dead season. These people, we watch them come, man, they out dance you and out praise you. You turn around and look, wow, they gone. Gone. I looked at a picture the other day, just a picture, that was just randomly taken in the dining hall. Two out of the 15 people in the picture, that's all that's left after about 4 or 5 years ago. Two. I said, man, I remember how they used to pray. I remember the deliverance that one used to do. Wow. How do we equate that today? So we don't relax it. If any man put his hand to the plow and he looks back, you're not even fit for the kingdom of Yah. You see, if you keep this same cutting edge of spirit, the way that you hear me speaking and talking and you keep living, that'll keep you all the way to the kingdom. It'll keep you all the way to the kingdom. Let them call you religious or whatever disparaging comments they want to use, but no matter what, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Don't even relax Yah's way in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Don't even become a friend with yourself. Does that make any sense? So now we have all these people that are coming in, still coming in. And Elder Doug, is this just only on a monthly basis that you usually have these phone calls, just a one-time thing, right? Or is it almost like this every month?
It's like this every month.
Y'all hear that? So let's just cut it down a little bit. All right? So 2 months at 500 calls. That's not including what we was in a post office or a postal store the other day. Me and you, Kabir, remember? And the guy says, there are some people that have moved down here from Maine. They heard you on YouTube and they just picked up and moved here and they plan on coming to your assembly. I said, I ain't heard that one. Maybe El Dub, maybe Ev, I don't know, but I ain't heard that one. Isn't that amazing? And Kabir was amazed as we went around in town yesterday about all the people, how beautiful their spirits was towards me. I talked to the animal control officer. Hey, how you doing, Pastor Dow? I'm doing pretty good, man. Post office. I said, hey, I'm glad to see you, man. I got a question. I said, these dogs that are off these leashes, because our sisters and our brothers like walking the road. And basically, in a nutshell, he said, if that dog comes out there in that road, kill it. And when you have to do a report, tell them you're in fear of your life. I said, I got it down. Y'all hear that? He said, because in all of Tennessee, there's a leash law. You don't let these dogs run around. I said, ain't no problem. So next time I get upset and mad, I feel like I need some, to relieve some tension, I just walk down Pumpkin Town Road, Pumpkin Town Lane, huh? And watch these uncooped dogs come out and light them up. Premeditated murder with justification of the law. Make sure y'all cut that out of the video. Then he says, if you have cattle, because you know dogs like running around and chasing cattle. He said, light them up. Man, I remember that year. I thought about that. I went back in my mind. I didn't tell him, though. There was about, how many dogs was it, Elder? You remember, Brother Rich, how many dogs was it? There was about 5 dogs running our cattle in the back 40. Sister got on the radio and said, man, these dogs are running out. He's running our cattle until they got, you know, they get foam in their mouth. I said, oh, really? You know, Elder Doug went back there. You was back there, wasn't you, Elder Doug? We went back there with our rifles. Brother Rich had a shotgun. They seen us. They took off towards the mountain. Took off running away, trying to get away. They said, man, they're getting away. I said, watch this. Pow! Shot against the mountain. They turned around and about face and came right towards us. It was just like playing duck hunt. It was just like playing duck hunt. One of them went around inside the barn. Brother Rich got that shotgun. Boom! Ah! Buckshots all in his ass. And Elder Doug and I, was, I'm telling you, we were picking them off. And guess what? We're protected by the law. But they were running our cattle. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? God said, you hate dogs. No, I love them to death. That's why they died. Glory to the King. I tell you, the dogs I'm really starting to hate is those two-legged. Ain't no, you know, seen two-legged dogs, right? But now we have an influx of people in the ministry. So, and now, yeah, that's why a couple of weeks ago, y'all see me revisiting some old stuff. I had to get the message out on proselytes because we need something out there for all these people that are getting confused. Because there's so much false doctrine going on out there. Now this stupid King David is the Messiah crap is rising up again. All y'all got to do, go to my YouTube page, type in Pastor Dow, King David Messiah. And go listen to that message, about 1 hour and 30 minutes long. Break it down for you. So now, we have people confused if they can even be an Israelite today. Whole bunch of them. Because there's so much discrimination going on from all races of people, which is sad. It's a sad, sad, sad thing. And it's left up to us to correct the wrongs of bad theology. You know what he says? But I'm telling you right now, there ain't nothing to do out here. Nothing to do in this world but serve Yahweh. That's all there is to do. Even, think about this, even vanity is being dried up. Think about that. Even vanity is being dried up. I talked to Brother Bud the other day, and he says, you know how much ammonia usually is? Is that right, ammonia? How much did it used to be? 89 cents. Who went and bought it? Who went and bought it? JC. JC went and bought some ammonia. Came back. Old Brother Bud, this stuff is $10. How do we go from 89 cents to $10? You know all these stimulus checks y'all like receiving in the mail? You better hope they don't print no more. Because at the moment you're getting ready to go to $15, they do another stimulus. And not only ammonia, all the other goods and services. Went in the store the other day, they didn't even shrunk the rolls of toilet paper. I looked at Ass Pot the other day, I came in, I said, I said, you know this cooking oil was $35 for this? I paid $50. No, the price tag said $49.98. Yeah, plus tax. That's over $50. Probably paid $52 for. I was like, man, you know what my thought was? My thought was, you know what? I got my truck. I got a couple of Federal Reserve notes on me. I probably better go buy the whole shelf. You know why? Because they do another round of stimulus, it may go to $75. See, while everybody's enjoying all these little stimulus, this free money so-called coming in, every single time they do that, you can guarantee that when you go to the store, don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't gripe. Because every single time they go to that store, and let me give y'all all some wisdom, all you Israelites, every single one of us, y'all ever heard of cloth diapers? Y'all better start stacking up on them. Unless you want to use leaves to wipe your ass. Because at least with them, you can take them to the creek and wash them out. So you better start getting cloth diapers. Look at them looking at you. That's wisdom. Even these diapers they make today ain't worth a damn. Man, his car had a blowout the other day. How does a baby have a blowout and the poop go up his back? How? That's some serious force. Up the back. Up the back. Pouring out the sides and up the back. Are you kidding me? We need to make our own diapers. Wow. So anyway, they plan on printing some more money for all of us to do us some favor. And they're going to do us some favor, all right? So running to and fro, it's starting to dry up. People are saying, I'm not going to sit up there and be stuck in a foreign country and stuff and take a chance of getting a false positive. And then have to stay there, quarantine for 14 days. 14 days, half a month, that's a long time. And people were fleeing. The Biden administration is going to really bankrupt us and really impoverish us. Because Democrats believe in benefits and handouts while they're buying it. Y'all go ahead and enjoy all this free stuff. Better start learning how to grow stuff. I hope that some time ago you all went out and got some heirloom seeds. Hope you did. Are we still even saving seeds? Do y'all know? We are. Good. I hope we ain't lost our mind. You know, forgetting stuff. Trying to get easy. We better stay on the cutting edge, Israel. Y'all hear me? Stay on the cutting edge. Seek for the old path. Search for the old paths. Ain't nothing out there. Nothing. You better let this particular saying, what I'm getting ready to quote, you let it become every fiber of your mind and being. Be content with such things as you have. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. You better learn how to be content. You better make that a priority in your life. To just be content. Just when you think your spirit wants to complain, you better learn how to be thankful to be content. Because it ain't going to be easy. Keep having to go out here because it seems like that they're running as quick as they can to get to this mark. Wouldn't it be wonderful for us? Wouldn't it be nice to know that the mark of the beast is here on this earth? Huh? We'll be rejoicing the rest of the earth. We'll be rejoicing the rest of the earth will be rejoicing too. Because they get to get free stuff. They get preferred club access. We're like, hey, that's the devil mark. Good. Now you ain't got no choice but to be content. Unless you want to go receive that mark. And what's going to happen when people can't, if the devil used the fruit of the tree for temptation, it's coming back again. It's coming back again. Now, better hear me, Israel. Everybody doing all right? For honor's sake, the law was never too hard for us to obey. It's our stubborn, wicked heart that is the problem. We all agree with that, right? Saul, the first king of Israel, over in, you know what I mean? He was really stubborn. He got called of the Most High Yah. You know, right? Favor of Yah. Can you imagine that? If the Most High Yah lead, that's the reason why the ministry is called Straightway. And it's spelt a certain way. Because that way is down the narrow path. It's down the narrow path. And if the Most High leads you here, you better not poo-poo it around. Because he's really, truly trying to save you. If he brings you this way, that's because Yah is dealing with you. Don't do like a lot of other foolish people who took it lightly. Decide to come like they're looking at a used car, a new car, kick the tires, and then head on down the road. Better take it seriously. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to experience a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Because that is what Teshuvah is. Repentance is very painful. And you can tell people ain't being saved right today because they don't experience no pain in repentance. We done been Americanized. I'm sorry, I repent. I just know you had it. Oh yeah, unless you detest the way that whatever it was, you ain't repented for nothing. You have to feel the pain of it. Y'all hear me? That's real true repentance. And I guarantee you won't repeat these things again. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11, for this is the commandment which I command you this day. It is not hidden from you, neither is it far from you. It is not in heaven. It's not where? In heaven. That you should say, who shall go up to Shemaim and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea. That you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto you in your what? And in your that you mayest do it. See, where's the word at? He said it ain't even in heaven. It ain't across the sea. It's in your mouth. That's why David said, I want to hide your word in my heart. Everybody be wanting, man, I just want so much of Yah. Put your word in his mouth. I can't tell you how many messages I've done, especially in deliverance. I keep telling all the Israelites, listen, we know we're in a spiritual warfare. The one thing these damn demons don't want is you to speak the word. They don't want you to. They want you to make you think that they really, truly ain't there simply because you can't see them with your natural eye. Just start speaking and talking and watch. See what happens. That's the one thing that they have gotten over on humanity is by hiding right out in the open. And that's why I say speak the word. Say the word. Talk to them. That's the one thing they don't want to do, because they have to respond and they must obey you. And we act like, hey, I'm just getting beat up so bad. Stop beating ass. That's why the Most High Yah came. To give us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And here we over in the Torah, it says that the word is right here, in your heart, so that you may do it. See, if you speak this word enough, you read it enough, speak enough, and when you read sometimes, stop doing this mind reading. Sometimes when you read, you remember when Hannah, she was praying, and they thought she was drunk. She was speaking loud enough that her ear could hear. Say that word. Say it. You think all the time on it, but say it when you read, so that your ears can hear, and so that every damn dark wicked demon and devil that is around you, they can hear it and flee to you as well. Get in the habit of speaking the word. Hallelujah. The covenant of Yah is given to ancient Israel, but also to us who were not there at that time. Is that right? Deuteronomy 29:10, ye stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and your stranger, what's that word again? And your stranger that is in your what? Camp. Excuse me, while the word makes distinction, speaking about stranger, Gentiles, different people of different nations, stuff, it's only doing that for the purpose to let you know that they are included. Is that making any sense? They're not excluding them, it's only letting you know the heart of God that they're included, that there's a way of salvation for them. There's with the account, from the hewer of thy wood unto the draw of your water, that you should enter into the covenant with Yahweh your Elohim, and into his oath which Yahweh your Elohim maketh with you this day. Hear closely, that he may establish you today for a people unto himself. You know that Yah's still doing this thing all because he wants a people for himself. That's the reason why you're sitting here. You're sitting here because Yah wanted you as a peculiar treasure of people unto himself. You shouldn't take that light, Israel. You shouldn't take it light at all. And that he may be unto you, O Yah, as he have said unto you, and as he have sworn unto the fathers, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us today before Yahweh Elohim, and also with him that is what? Not here with us this day. See, Yah even covered us all the way to this point. This was written thousands of years ago, and he already had us in mind. How grateful and how thankful we should be. Huh? It's just as binding and just as for us today. Our main problem today is doing that which is right in our own eyes. Our problem is a lack of obedience, the root cause of all of your trouble in life. Deuteronomy 4:1, listen to the word even more so. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh your Elohim of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim which I command you. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. That's why you know, that's how you know Christianity is the largest satanic religion on the earth, because they oppose these commandments. They don't want you to do nothing. We have read three different places in the Torah the importance of doing. Doing, 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 doing. That thou shalt not add thereunto nor diminish from it. Jeremiah 50 verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountains to hills. They have forgotten their resting places. Y'all hear that? Yahweh promises shepherds to feed his people, to bring them back to him. That's why it's very important. You're listening to someone. Don't get caught up with talent and personality. Hear what's being said. See if it comes out of the vein and the spirit of Yah, from the Ruach. Does that make sense? Jeremiah 3:15 said, I will give you paths according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Oh, by the way, let me say this so I don't forget. At Passover, I think, what does it start the 20? We're going to start having people come the 24th of March until, I believe it's the 4th of February. That should cover us all the way for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The 4th of April, sorry. How'd it go from March to February? So the 4th of March to the 4th, no, 24th of March to the 4th of April. Y'all hear that? We're saying it like that so that we don't confuse all the new people. They don't even talk about the month of a bill. I ain't gonna say Nissan because we ain't driving no cars. You understand what I mean? Or use no pagan term. Anyway, y'all get it? All right, so everybody got that right. The 24th of March to the 4th of April. So that means you'll be able to get 2 Shabbats in with us. All right, what about COVID? And by the way, the meeting is in Virginia because I'm in YouTube jail right now. The meeting is in Virginia, February the 20th. And we're going to put out more information this week, so stay tuned. Passover Israel, as well as the foreigners of Greece, were all part of the holy nation of Israel. I don't know why I said Passover. We'll figure it out, all right? Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice. So, y'all's big on this obeying and big on this doing stuff, isn't he? He's big on his obeying and big on his doing. And keep my covenant, then you shall be a what kind of treasure? A peculiar treasure unto me above how many people? For all the earth is mine. Every bit of it. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid it before their faces, and all these words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. Did they do it though? Okay. And then Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. See, the law was not just for the Israelites. It was for everybody that was there that actually came out. It wasn't only for the Israelites only. It was also created for anyone who was willing to follow and to do Yahweh's will. When Yahweh spoke, he spoke to all of us, Israel, which just so happened to also be foreigners as well, and they were considered Israel as well. One law, to be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourn with you. Leviticus 14, 24, 22. You shall have one manner of law as well as for the stranger, as for one of your own country, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. So the stranger don't get a set of laws different than us, right? We get the same law. Numbers 9:14. And if a stranger sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim according to the ordinance of Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do it. He shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and him that is born in the land. Numbers 15:15. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, also unto the stranger that sojourn with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16, one law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourn with you. And see, y'all out there on the other side of the camera, y'all should be writing all this down and highlighting it all over your book. It's obvious that Gentiles were considered to be Israel. So Exodus 12, 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. Can you imagine logistically? Can y'all think about that? Logistically? 600,000? Y'all think about, do you think we could take this crew 40 miles on foot? I wonder what would take place. Don't y'all wonder what would take place? Huh? You think somebody would start murmuring? Come on, let's just be real with ourselves. Do you think that somebody would start murmuring? We expect it from the children. My feet hurt. What about you? You think you will be thankful for every step? See, these things we need to think about. Think about it now. Man, that would That would be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe we ought to try a 12-mile march just to see what would happen. Are y'all excited? No, you ain't. Verse 38. A mixed multitude went up also with them, the flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Leviticus 24:10. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, showing that people mixed. Is that right? Showing that people mixed. Is that right? And this son of the Israelite woman and of the man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the son of the Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, get it? I just want to put emphasis on that. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of Yahweh. Where did he learn it from? From the Egyptian. You get it? That's the reason why that when people come in, we may have to make sure that the conversion is solid. Y'all get this? And cursed. And he didn't say damn, hell, shit, bastard, and stuff. No, he didn't say that. Did y'all get my offer last night? I said, I told you I ain't never cursed since I've been in the faith. Now what people gonna do about that one? I still hadn't had nobody show me what God hates divorce. It's common, I think. Could have been something he's been able to pick up on. And he bought unto him Moses. And the name of his mother's name was, how you pronounce that? Shelomo. The daughter of Dabri, of the tribe of Dan. Let's go to understanding of the prophets here, okay? Hezekiah 47:21. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it for a lot and inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you. Is that right? Watch this. And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. So did y'all do any discriminating? At all. He actually included them in the tribe. Not to be some second class citizen of the household of faith, but actually be an Israelite. And they shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yahweh Elohim. See, you may have been a Gentile once. Once you may have been a Gentile in the flesh, but you are not Gentiles anymore once you come to the faith. And you people out there, the problem that y'all are having is you keep going eating off these other tables because you're curious about what somebody else has to say. It makes no sense. Why would you want to go out there and listen to somebody ain't going to do them a brain number, a bunch of confusion? It makes no sense. It's nonsensical. Is that right? Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that you, being in past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without the Messiah. Now, I got a question for all of us. Do you all remember you were without Messiah? I'm going to tell you this. I don't care what color or non-color or whatever the hell you were. Had a time when you were without Messiah, you were Gentile too. Because you sure wasn't keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. You wasn't exalting his ways. You wasn't being obedient to the covenant. Your mind didn't care about you. All you cared about was your selfish self. You see, anybody been watching Elder Mitch out there getting after them blocks in that concrete? That's some hard work. That's some hard work. That right there would definitely teach you what it was like to be a slave in Egypt. I promise you. I said, you ready for us to come up and help? He said, well, let me just get up to four courses. I said, you do know that that's the roughest part. He said, yeah. Good baptism. Isn't that something? The willfully want to go through all that pain like that. He's doing a work that's totally unselfish. The community is a work of being totally unselfish. Because it's not about the individual, it's about the whole. Totally unselfish. Can you imagine the reward that the Most High Yahweh have for us that love him, is live set apart, to at least make an attempt in this life to obey him, are going against wind and tide in this generation. Can you imagine the servitude that each one of us provide for each other serving the house of Israel? Can you imagine what Yahweh say to us? See, instead of thinking that things are grudgingly or something like that, think about the reward. Think about that for a second. To be in a total unselfish work. Boy, brother, it don't seem like these 22 years done went by so fast. Huh? We literally have been here boots on the ground 22 years. I remember when my beard was black like yours. Gee. I got pictures that prove it. 22 years went by like a blink of an eye. Just that fast. Boom. Boom. Wasn't that fast, Teacher Shane? Come on, Cole, does it seem like it went fast to you? Wow. Y'all hearing the testimony, right? Oh, they just going along. No, they ain't either. That's how fast it is. Life is truly short. It really, truly is. So as Israelites, our focus should be on serving one another with gladness. Following? So purpose, the reason why he's building with concrete up there, because he heard what I told him. Say, if you want this thing to last for generations to come, you better build it with concrete. You may want to last for a couple of generations. If you want to do some upkeep, if you're going to build it with wood, you better build it the way we do it. But we have a lot of overkill in our project. Our roofs are literally overkill. But they're going to be there. They're going to be there. How many trusses in this one? 74? 75? 72? That's a lot of trusses. And them things are heavy, so heavy that we couldn't lift them up. We had to get a crane. This building's going to be here for a while. One day it may be a home. Get that? Kabir may have to move here. If he keep having all these children he say he gonna have, we may have to make all this into pods and then stack up bunk beds. Oh, and by the way, all you brand new people come to the ministry. Yes, we do believe in polygamy. But, like I told you, less than 5% of the people in the ministry is actually participating. We don't have that many families that's in polygamy. We literally just don't. It's not a commanded or demanded requirement. We just don't have it. You understand me? Boy, I tell you, Kabir, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. You gonna get that, what, 94? Boy, that's a lot of work here. He said he gonna get 94 because he want his football number. Whew. Four women. So y'all women think twice. Y'all see Kabir at the feast, run. Hallelujah. But hey, there was a time that we were Gentiles in our mind, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without Yah in the world. But now in the Messiah Jesus, you who were sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. How are we made nigh? Not because of what we done, but because of what he done. Isn't that amazing? You see, I remember what it was like to be without him. And I know what it means to be with him. I ain't going back to being without him. I'd be a fool to set up and trade this magnificent, wonderful walk, knowing that I have an expected end of an eternal life. For what? This crap out here? Somebody gotta be spiritually retarded. But he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down a middle wall of partition between us. Is that right? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity even of the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto Yah in one body by the tree, having slain the enemy thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were not. And that statement, meaning the people that were promised people of the covenant as well as the people that wasn't promised people of the covenant. But through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of Yah. See, your level of obedience is key to being a true Israelite. Remember how Yah did with his own people, and take heed if you don't think that he'll do the same thing and punish us like he did with them. Y'all remember, Yah loved Israel. He really, matter of fact, he loves us so much. Look, even still, all these many thousand years later, he's still looking for people to be in his covenant. Even if there's just going to be a few of them, he has not forgotten his people, which he has ordered. Anyone that want to come and embrace him, man, I mean, boy, I tell you, that's amazing to think about. What was it? I haven't seen and ear haven't heard. Ain't even entered into the heart of man. For Yah has prepared for them that love him. Can you imagine? I mean, think about the vanity of this world, and people are literally trading. I mean, think about it, though, man. They literally are trading eternal life for this vain crap here. It's unbelievable. I don't even want to wrap my mind around it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever at all. You ever hear these people talking about, I don't believe it. Once you're dead, you're dead. I believe that. When you're dead, you're dead. But death is just the beginning. Because Yahshua said, if you're going to enter into life, then what is this we living in? Think about that. And as much emphasis it puts on this as being temporal, eternity seems like a long time. And people will squander this temporal life for eternity. It just don't make any sense to me. Scriptures clearly show that Gentiles converted and they became Israelites. Now open the book of Judith in the Apocrypha. 14:10, and when Achar had seen all that Yah of Israel had done, he believed in Yah greatly and circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. That's when he showed that he believed it, and was joined unto the house of Israel unto this day. Now think about this way. Can you imagine being a man, you come to this covenant, and you circumcise your own flesh, your foreskin? Ooh, you better make it quick. Be where it's going to hurt, boy. See, now you think about this for a second. Look at our mindset today. Look, think about this for a second. Look at our mindset today. It's taboo for us to sit up and think that we're going to hold another man's penis and circumcise it. Yet that was common in the book. They didn't look at it and view it that way. They weren't perverts. They were so motivated by the covenant. They weren't thinking about a man's penis. They were thinking about the application, reason why and for it. Today we like, Abraham didn't see it that way. Abraham didn't see it that way. Paul didn't see it that way. See what I'm saying? See how we are so different in our minds today. Literally so different, so far away. And if you start looking at the book, you'll be surprised at what you'll see in every aspect. You'll be surprised. This culture has really done messed us up. And in every province and in every city, whatsoever, did I read all that? Yeah. And whatsoever the king's commandments and his decree came that the Yehudim had joy and gladness of feast and a good day. Well, I'm sorry, I went over to Esther, sorry. And many of the people of the land became Yehudims, and the fear of the Yehudims fell upon them. I was in Mexico, and I seen this this guy from the land of Israel. You could tell he was one of them Jews. It was two of them. I looked at him up. I looked at him down. I did. I kept looking. I looked at him up, looked down. I said, ain't no way in hell them of y'all's people. There is no damn way that these are God's people. In any way, shape, fashion, or form. But they also believe that you ain't God's people. Well, we gonna see then, ain't we? We ain't got no choice but to test that boast. We will see. But I was for certain that them ain't God's people. Can you imagine living and growing up in a culture where you have no savior? Thank God you're saving, but then you reject the one that came. Can you imagine? Acts 16, verse 1, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Yehudim, and believed, but his father was Greek. Now, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that today? Clearly telling you, that, did not Paul write some letters to Timothy? What are these Hebrew Israelites going to do about that? Are they just going to throw away the book of Timothy now? I mean, both letters? See what I mean? Which was well reported by the brother in Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth and took and circumcised him. Can you imagine that? Paul actually took a Greek and circumcised. Paul, according to some of these doctrines today, Paul can't go to the kingdom. Do you think Paul cares about what they think? He gone. Y'all got to go through the painstaking task so that these new people can come on board and get caught up so that they don't get frustrated by all this mess that's going on. The best thing y'all can do, if y'all bought you here, stop eating off other tables. We got a big old smorgasbord over here. I promise we do. Got a big one. Because, look what the reason why he circumcised. Because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was what? Greek. They wouldn't even let you in the temple unless you were circumcised. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Notice, Paul is telling everybody. He's speaking, wrote a letter to Titus. You tell everybody to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, let's look at this word magistrates real quick. All right? Greek 39:80. To persuade by ruler, that is generally to submit to authority. You know, that's really the biggest problem we have in all across Israel, is that people don't want to submit to authority. By the analogy, to conformity, to advice, hearken, obey, period. Hebrews 13:7. So this obedience thing, when you come here, Nobody comes to Straightway to teach. Y'all brought you here to be taught. We got plenty of elders and pastors and teachers, I promise you. Isn't that amazing? Sit down and get taught for a while. And if y'all deems it so, makes it worthy, when time comes, he'll make a teach out of it. But I promise you, it ain't something you want to long for. Preacher. Or whatever. You get it? You ever see Teacher Eric puts out a, man, he puts out a good teaching every week. Don't he? That was real good. You know how much time, energy, and effort he has to put in that to bring forth a teaching like that? See, we just look at his internet, oh man, we getting taught. Isn't that good out here? Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer do a damn good sister to sister show. Don't you got to put a lot of time, energy, and effort in that show? Every week. It's a dedication. It's a labor of love. Me, I just sit down at Blog Talk Radio and just start talking. I can actually just get up and start preaching every Sabbath and don't have to prepare nothing. You get it? Doesn't put in the time. It's a labor of love. You can't just sit up there and say, isn't that amazing? Well, Sister Ashley, hey. Well, we're not going to have sister to sister for the next 4 months. I'm tired. Oh, dang. Well, we get served and start talking like that, we all in trouble, ain't we? Ain't we all in trouble? We get served on. Wouldn't it be nice if we just say, hey, Pastor Dollar, you know, I'm going to tell y'all, hey, I'm going to take a break for about 6 months. Y'all keep the faith, Israel. We'll see y'all in about 6 months, okay? Somebody said, what? They'll start probably calling up Pastor Card, having him come down there, go down there and lay hands on Pastor Dollar. He got a spirit on him. Huh? But yet and still, we got saints that can pick and choose when they want to come to assembly or home fellowship. You see what I mean? If we are charged by that, ain't you the more so? Oh, but remember them to have a rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of Yah, whose faith follow consider the end of their conversation. Hebrews 13:17, obey them to have a rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must do what? Give an account. Watch this. And that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For it's unprofitable to you. Why is it written if it wasn't needful for us? Y'all hear it? I guarantee none of y'all sisters got offended at their broadcast last night, did you? You know why? Because it don't fit them. I would love to be able to go into a Christian church and preach that message. Have Kabir sitting right there next to us. Find confidence. I would love to. Because that way you'll know who the real women are, the ones who stay. What a test that is, huh? In the book of Revelation, the gates are named after, they're not named after Gentiles. You ever notice it doesn't say the gate of Ignatius, the gate of Polycarp, the gate of Marcion, the gate of Martin Luther, the gate of John Calvin, the gate of John Wesley. Y'all hear this? Y'all know the reason why I'm saying all this, right? Because they put up all of these people before the apostles. Listen to the philosophy of Christianity. They have more, they care, well, they even cherry picked the writings of Martin Luther too. There's no gate of John Calvin. I just got finished cursing Christians. They will promote all of these people that come centuries after the apostles and prophets. And will use their words to disarm what the apostles and prophets have said. And don't think that people haven't stopped doing that today. There are people that's trying to pick up these scriptures and handle this word to disarm the word from you to make disciples after themselves. Y'all hear this? You got to be careful, man. Because, I mean, it really ain't that tough to deceive human beings. Romans 11:21, for if y'all spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare you not. Behold, therefore the goodness and severity are on them which fail severity, but towards the goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Notice the if is meaning is in a continual abiding. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. That's a warning for us. Y'all get that? That's a serious warning, for a scathing warning. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Yah is able to graft them in again. If you are cut out of a wild olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? But I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the what? Now what? Who the Gentiles in? It says Israel is blind for a while, right? They know who Israel is. But God's got a plan for there's a multitude of Gentiles that's got to come in before the blindness be totally lifted up off of Israel. That's some crazy stuff. These folks out of their mind today, though, y'all. So if y'all don't want to be confused, don't listen to any of these Hebrew Israelite camps, and damn sure don't listen to Christianity. That's the safe way. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So the sole purpose of the Messiah, while we're here on this earth, is to turn us away from ungodliness. Now the real question is how are you doing on that? Don't you sit here and get into a complacent spirit and fall into a rut and just become religious for the next 10 or 15 years and being no profit to Israel whatsoever at all. Not even to yourself. Now the way that this whole thing works is by love. Every bit of it works by love. And the definition of love is when a man can lay down his life. And when it's talking about laying down his life, it's not talking about also just dying. It's talking about you dying out to your will and yourself. That's why it's called a labor of love. There's no task on this community that is a menial task. You may call it that, but there's no task menial. They all are important. Why? Because we're not going to get graded and judged as individuals. We're going to be graded and judged as a whole. We're going to have our own individual judgment concerning eternal life. But how we do as a family, that's how people get motivated even more so, because, I mean, come on. When y'all first came, I heard Teacher Eric the other day. He's like, man, I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started keeping these commandments. Like, is there anybody else that is passionate about this like me? Is anybody that love him like I do? Is there anybody? So he starts searching. Next thing you know, Mosiah led Teacher Eric to me. He says, hey, I know who my pastor is now. I'm good to go. It was so funny when Teacher Eric first came. All he did was sit across the dining hall and just look at him. Yeah, man, you notice how when children look at you, they stare a hole in you, and they don't bat an eye. They don't smile. They don't turn their head either. They just keep looking. And you turn away, you look back, and they still looking. You turn your head again, look back, they are still looking. That's how Teacher Eric was looking at me. He kept looking at me like I'm like, I started to say, hey, snap out of it. He just kept looking. Because in nowadays, it's almost hard to believe that somebody can actually love y'all more than you, or to the level. But y'all does have these people that are very serious about it. As fallible and flawed as we are, he does have people that love him. And that's what he's trying to do now in this end time, is bring us together. Boy, didn't y'all marvel and amaze the last couple of months, all these people, all these scriptures over in Torah that tells us, gave us the blueprint, get land, build houses. It tells us over and over and over again. Isn't it not amazing how it's been there all this time, and look how few people are trying to do it. Now, what's the sole purpose of him telling us come out? He tells us come out so he can preserve us as a remnant. You know, it's going to be very easy for him to pick us out because we're already out. There's my people right over there. There's my people right over there. Because I'm going to tell you right, there's no way you can stay holy and living in the city. I mean, we stayed holy as much as we could in the city because we was constantly fellowshipping with each other. See what I mean? We didn't go rub elbows with the Gentiles. I had to worry about my natural family. They didn't want to come around. Isn't that beautiful? They didn't want to come around. Because when you get into this, you have a natural family that's after the flesh, but then you have the family of Yah. Them the ones you're going to be spending all of eternity with, so you might as well get used to them. Hallelujah. I heard stories about people when they were young and they had brothers and sisters born saying, I don't like them, put them back. How many brothers and sisters you got, brothers and sisters? Six of them. Don't you just wish it's all you so you can get all the goods? You see what I mean? That's that church say, oh, I can get back. We don't get to pick and choose who our brothers and sisters are. The Most High Yah is birthing us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? But also remember this, in his kingdom, you're going to suffer loss. You will be tested. You will be tried. Oh, yes, you will. He's going to hit your heart. Right? Do you know what your test is? See, many of us have been a while. We've already probably been through our test. Now, it's easy all from here. Because the devil is going to test some of y'all. And he always starts with the family. He always starts with the family. And let's end on this one. Teacher saying Matthew chapter 10. Start at verse 30. Matthew 10, start at verse 30. I want all y'all on them cameras out there on the other side, y'all listen real close. Read.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Y'all hear that? Even Brother Rich, who don't have none. He got some on the side, but he's still the number. Come out.
Fear ye not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Y'all hear that? Now notice, he's saying all of this right now. That's why I started there. He said, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Come on.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men.
Y'all hear that? Whosoever shall confess me before men, what are you going to do?
Him will I confess also before my Father.
And that's more than just saying words. That's living his lifestyle. Come on.
Before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men.
You hear that? Denying him is more. You notice people today that's been religious born, you know, raised upright. They don't deny him. In their works, they deny him. That's why the book says being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. In their lifestyle, they deny him. See, people think they're wise today. You know what I mean? But not, I mean, the only wise God, it is nobody wise than him. He got it all covered. Come on.
Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Read.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
Y'all hear that? He said all that, then he gets to this part. Don't you think for 1 minute I've come to send peace on this earth. What's man trying to look for? But through what? War, right? They're looking for peace, and he still escapes it. Think not I come to send peace on earth. Read on.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Read.
For I am come to set a man at variance against
There's a difference. At odds against
his father.
His what?
His father. And the daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, his tree, and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
Y'all hearing this? So where you think the first test is always going to come? Coming on home. Family, it's coming. That was my first test. It definitely was yours too. Boy, Jordan, wasn't it yours? Mom at odds with Dawn? Wow. Isn't that something? Nate, wasn't it your test too? Wow. Look at that. Ain't none of us escaped this. Wow. Oh, yeah. Read on some more.
He that findeth his life.
If you do what?
He find his life.
Come on.
Shall lose it.
You hear that? You find it, you're going to lose it. Come on.
And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Y'all get that? What did we find? We found eternal life, didn't we? Yep. But we had to lose our, had to lose it. In other words, you can't continue to keep doing things the way you used to. You can't even live the way you used to. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Read on.
He that receiveth you receiveth me.
Now that's a big one. Can you imagine all these family members and all these people over the years that have rejected me? You have had the word of God in your mouth. You try to tell people about Jesus and they rejected you. They want to serve this other Jesus, but they didn't want to hear what you had to say. And the Messiah turns and says to us that he that receiveth you, you receive me. See how important it is that you receive me as a pastor? Is it important? Is it very important that you even receive each other? That's emphasis added. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Read.
And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me.
It goes up the chain. Come on.
He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward.
Come on.
And he that received a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
Read.
And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward.
There are so many benefits to the kingdom of serving him. Why would you want to do anything else? So the Most High y'all called you here, be happy and be glad. Get your heart fixed and your mind ready for service. So that's what this is all about. Let's go over this again. Passover, unleavened bread, 24th of March, right? And it's going to be open for you to stay on the community until the 4th of April. All right, 4th of April. We had 800-something people here at Tabernacle. Is that right? And we didn't have any so-called COVID-19 issue. Now, if you're coming, I would say get up on your, because it's springtime, so it really truly ain't much sickness. But anyway, get up on your vitamin C. Make sure you drink plenty of water, vitamin D. On guard if you have it. And what's some other good stuff to take? Superfoods, mulberry, elderberry. In other words, you really need to build up your immune system. Build up your immune system, all right? Because for the most part, whatever this flu thing was that ran through a lot of people pretty much is done, went and gone. And we're going to have service. We're going to open up communion again for Shabbat to everybody next Sabbath, all right? So it's probably going to be a lot of people here, all right? And we're practicing social distance. We're distancing from society, from the heathens out there. Hallelujah. Let us stand, Israel. Y'all to be encouraged. Hallelujah. Nobody put me in YouTube. I ain't even been back 3-4 days. They threw me in jail, man. Crazy. Trying to prevent the word of y'all, man. Stands out of my pocket, you do. Most of y'all, we thank you for all things. Pray these sins sink deep down our hearts. Magnificent name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, Israel. King coming.